Today we're excited because we're talking about on earth as it is in heaven. We're continuing our series, Walking the Word. So I encourage you to bring your notes, your pencils, your pad, your paper, your iPad, or whatever you use to take notes, because we're going to be teaching the Word of God. And today we're going to continue in a series on what does it mean for God to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week, we had an incredible time. We talked about the peace of God, that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And we learned that that peace is not the absence of conflict. Let me say that again. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it means reconciliation with the Father. Somebody say amen. And so we learned that sometimes in life, you're going to go through something. You're going to hit some highways that got rocks and nails in it. But don't worry, he says, listen, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. He is the Prince of Peace. And so today we want to look at what does it mean when he says, Jesus says, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I think in order to get a good understanding of what this really means for you and I, we need to go back into the Word and see what Jesus actually says. So I want to take you to a prophecy that was spoken about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and we're going to examine that and walk that out, what he expects from you and I. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to try to discover what Jesus' ultimate goal is on this earth, and then how do we align our lives up to be in sync with that. Let's take a look at this verse. It says here, it was prophesying about the coming of Jesus. It said, for a child is born to us, a son is given. How many know that God knows your gender before you hit the planet? Somebody say amen. Oh, let me try that again. How many know that God knows your gender before you hit the planet? Somebody say amen. Amen. So he says, for a child is born to us. Let me tell you what, it's a male child. A son is given to us. And watch what it says. The government will rest on his shoulders. Now that begs the question, is Jesus Republican or Democrat? Is he independent or is he a Tea Party member? Somebody say amen. The government will rest on his shoulders. What government? Now, they go on and give us some illustrations of what he's like. And I don't know about you, but when I think of Jesus, I think he's a wonderful counselor. Somebody say amen. I think he's a mighty God. Amen. I think he's the everlasting Father. And somebody told me one day he was the Prince of Peace. I love it. I love it. And he is the one on whom the government will be on his shoulders. And the question I keep asking myself is, what government are we talking about? I want to go back into the Word, because we got to figure out, what government is Jesus bringing? Is it an earthly one? I can guarantee you the disciples really thought Jesus was bringing some type of government to this planet. It was logical. It was based on prophecies. In fact, there was a question that they had, and they asked him based on that ideology. Would you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6? And we're going to discover how the apostles, the guys who walk with him, talk with him every day. And I need to say this, and it's very important, that the disciples had made a mistake that we often make. That we think that Jesus is moved one way or another when it comes to politics. Now, I need you to know this as a church, because sometimes we get so mired in the affairs of this world, we forget that Jesus is above all that. Somebody say amen. Amen. I was talking with someone the other day, and we were I was talking to another pastor the other day, and we were discussing the race issues of our culture and our country. And he says, you know, this is what happens. This side pulls the race card. This side claims that they're the superior. And he says, and that's the fight we have. And I said, that's the mistake you just made. Our fight is not to define our race or our color. Our job as the church itself is to recognize what it says in the book of Acts, that we were all made from one blood. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is the church that must bring the good news that, brother, it is not based on the color of your skin, but the fact that his blood was shed for you on Calvary's cross. Somebody say amen. It's not a race issue that we must identify. It's we've got to identify what kingdom is coming to this earth. I want you to look at this verse in verse 6. It says, when the disciples were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They wanted to know, God, are you politically putting us back on the map? Are you going to set up the kingdom for us here on earth? Look at verse 7. Let's all read together, shall we? Read. And he said, in other words, he says, listen, guys, you don't need to be worried about those kind of things. That God's got all that stuff covered. How many know God's got everything covered already? Amen? I mean, he knew when you were going to be born. He knew when the presidents were going to be born. He knew what would happen to every nation. He's already got this stuff mapped out. It is not for you to worry about that. Ah, listen to me, church. I'm trying to get you to think big. Everybody say, think big. My God, if we could just grasp hold of what our job is on this planet, we would not worry about what's happening in Congress. We wouldn't worry what's happening in Europe. We wouldn't worry what's happening in Israel. God is still on the throne. He's not surprised about anything, and I'm glad about that, that God is not surprised about any problem you're facing, and he already worked out your solution. You ought to give God some praise just for that fact. Hello, somebody. I am happy over there. Hallelujah. I'm just getting happy all by myself up in here. Amen. He says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own power. But verse 8, I love this. This is where you come in. Listen to what he says. He says, governments, kingdoms, conflicts, Republican, Democrat, ISIS, European nations, The Hague, United Nations, all those things are in my power. But let me tell you what's in your power. Don't you love a God who doesn't just leave you hanging out there? He says, I'm going to tell you what you need to be concerned about. He says, listen, but you shall receive power. He says, the power that you're going to get is going to make a difference. And he says, after that, the what? Holy Ghost is come upon you. And here's what our job is. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto who? The Republican Party. The Democratic Party. No, none of these things. He said, you're going to be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and into Samaria. And where? Unto the... Listen, he's not trying to change. Listen to me, church. Jesus is not trying to change the political landscape of our country. He's trying to change the spiritual one. Listen, the power of the political landscape is in God's timing and season, but his desire is that we be a partner with him on this earth to change the spiritual landscape of our nation. Somebody say amen. He has given us power to change the spiritual landscape of our areas of influence. Now, let me say this to you. I don't know where you work. I don't know where you spend most of your time, but that is called your area of influence, your circle of influence. And God has given you power to influence that area. Now, the question is, are you bringing heaven on earth to that area? I want to show you what Jesus, you know, Pilate was of the same mind. Pilate was a very carnal man. He was worried about politics and pleasing people. And Jesus was brought before Pilate and had a confrontation. Jesus truly understood his authority, but he needed to clarify something for the enemy. And there are times in our life we will stand before the enemy, and we need to be able to clarify and articulate what we believe. Somebody say amen. I want to show you what happened. Look at John chapter 18, verse 36. He's standing before Pilate about to be crucified, and the issue of kingdoms comes up again. Watch this. Jesus, well, let me give you the background. Pilate says, listen, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I have the power to determine your rise and fall? Don't you understand that on this earth I have authority? And how many times we look at our bosses and our jobs and our circumstance and our economy, and we and the economy is looking at us and say, don't you know who I am? We look at our sickness. Don't you know who I am? I am cancer. Who do you think you are? And I love Jesus' response. Here's what he says. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? He said, listen, let me tell you something. If it ever came down to one-on-one fight, you would lose. He says that I should not be delivered into the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. His kingdom is not here on earth. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, well, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came. Now watch what he says. He's going to tell you why he was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the everyone that is of the hears my. He says, you want to know why I'm here? I'm just here to tell people the. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm not here to make anybody feel good. I'm just here to tell you the truth. How many just want the truth? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? If you're not doing a good job on your job, you still want them to lie to you, say you're doing great, and then you get the pink slip. Nobody wants that, right? I mean, if I'm making you a plate of spaghetti and you don't like it, please at least then lie to me. But every other time, don't lie to me. Okay? Just let that be it. Watch this. Here's the thing that we have to understand, that in our natural sense, we tend to do what is logical to us. But Jesus always commands us to do the opposite almost of logic. And he always commands us to do the opposite of what we think we ought to do. We think we need to change what we see with our eyes. And Jesus says, you need to change what you see in the spirit. I want to go to an example of that where he would do the opposite of our first reaction. Would you go to Luke 6, verse 27? He uses this as a great example. And I want to kind of bring this home, that oftentimes he tells us to do what is not instinctive to do. He says this to the church. He says, but I say unto you which hear me. Again, remember, he says, those who hear the truth, they know it. They listen to me. And he goes on to say in Luke 6, 27, but I say unto you which hear. That's everybody in this room. If you hear me, raise your hand, please. Hallelujah. You are responsible for what I'm about to tell you. But I say unto you which hear. Love. You're in it. Let's close our eyes for a minute, shall we? I want you to get in your mind the one that just gets on your last, there it goes, last nerve. And the Lord says, that person, everybody say that person. Look at your neighbor and just say, not you. Almost caused some trouble right there. Woo, that was close. That person, you got to love. Because you know what? The opposite of what we want to do is to really get him back. But if you're a believer, he will tell you to do the opposite of what is instinctive for you to do. They got you on your job. They talked about you. So I'm going to talk about them. No. You got to love them. Now, how do you love somebody when you don't like them? Can we just talk real for a second here? How do you love somebody when you really don't like them? Well, thank God that we're saved by agape love and not phileo love. Let me explain the difference. Agape is unconditional love. It means it doesn't matter what you do. I have love, therefore I love you. It's not based on whether you give me back love. God is love. And because of his abundance, he's able to give it without getting anything back. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's agape. But phileo love says, I love you because you love me. And so when you don't like me, I don't like you. He says, love your enemies. And watch this. I love this next one. He says, do good to them that hate you. Now, can I clarify this? Because this is difficult. Again, we're talking, how do you bring the kingdom of God on earth? It starts with hearing the Lord. It starts with acknowledging this truth. And what happened for me for years is that I thought when it says, do good to them that hate you, meant that you had to go buy them cakes and presents. And oftentimes when I would do that, they throw it right back in my face. So I said, God, how do you do this? And when I looked up the word do good, it means that your response to their evil should be kept in Jesus. That to do good to somebody who hates you means that in spite of how they treat you, you don't come out of your zone. Can I tell you the truth? I tell people all the time, you will never get me out of the upper room. What do I mean by that? You know, in the last days, Jesus spoke to the disciples and he says, I want you to go and I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power on high. I want you to go in the upper room. And so I can visualize the disciples in the upper room and all the naysayers down there going, who are you Christians? Who are you people? Come down here and talk with us. But when I'm waiting on God to do something for me, I'm not coming out of the upper room. Somebody say amen. Amen. And some people will call you out of your place. Don't you leave that upper room. You wait till God brings the power. Watch what he says. Do good to them that hate you. And then he goes on and says, verse 28, look at this. Bless them that curse you. If you ever struggled with unforgiveness, has anyone ever done that before? Anybody ever? And the rest of you are just not telling the truth. Is that what it is? All right, this is hobbit hands, human hands. Let's try the human hands. How many have ever struggled with unforgiveness? Come on now. Let's be church. This will help you. This verse right here. It says, bless them. If you can get on your knees and pray for the one that gets on your nerves, hello, somebody. It goes a long way to help you forgive somebody. Because it's hard to pray for somebody you don't like. But when you can, forgiveness is easy. It goes on, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. I love this quote by Martin Luther King. He talked about how do you win people back to the kingdom? How do you bring the kingdom of God on earth in such a dark place? He says, just like darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. And he goes on and says, so it is with hate. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Somebody say amen. So in order to drive out the darkness that's in this world, we must bring light to this world. We must love our enemies. We must love those who hate us. It is the only opposite effect that has any weight in this world. And I want to challenge you. If you're reacting to what's happening to you with the same weapons, put your weapons down. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of every stronghold. You can bring that person back to God if you quit fussing. Look at your neighbor and say, stop fussing at me. No, you didn't look. Y'all were scared because y'all been fussing. Yeah, I saw that one. Let me tell you what Paul the Apostle said. Would you go to Romans 12? This is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. We want to see it. I want to see the evidence of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to feel the power. And Paul tells us what we ought to do. Look at Romans 12, verse 8. It says, if it be possible, we talked about this last week, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And then he gives us some more instruction, verse 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You don't have to fight. Look at this, verse 20. Therefore, he says, now knowing that I got this battle, I got your back, here's what you're supposed to do. If we're going to line up with the kingdom of heaven, we need to know what his responsibilities are and what ours. We learned earlier that his is the responsibility of governments and kings. Ours is to bring the power to the nations. His responsibility is vengeance. Ours is to do this next thing. It says, beloved, here's what I want you to do. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, this is for you, ladies and gentlemen. Be not overcome with, but overcome with. It's the only way you're going to do it. You know, I don't know how many grew up in the streets. I grew up in the streets of Cincinnati, and there was a principle that I learned. I used to run with some gangs, and I learned this one thing, that if you fight this dude, I don't know who he is, but he's got like 1,000 cousins. Let me explain. You beat this guy up, you're all happy, and another guy mad at you, go, well, that was my cousin. That is not. You're white. He's black. What are you talking about? The whole concept of cousin is that, hey, listen, you do evil to somebody, someone else is going to do evil to you. And so don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. I want you to think in your life, when a guy cuts you off on the road, do you give him the Jesus finger, or do you give him the hello, God bless you? Some people give us the number one, and it's on the other finger over. You know what I mean? Y'all kind of slow. Number one, next finger over. No. Here we go. What kingdom is Jesus bringing? What kingdom is coming to this earth? Ladies and gentlemen, whether you're ready for it or not, it's coming. I need you to get a hold of this quickly, because you will be frightened by the news. You will be bothered by the radio. You will be upset by your MP3s. If you keep listening to everything else, you will miss this one truth. His kingdom is coming. I want you to understand this truth. What kingdom is he bringing? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 this time. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 tells us that his government and its peace will never end. The government he's bringing will have peace that is without ending. It says, and watch this, he will rule with what? Fairness, and ISIS ain't got nothing on his government that's coming. From the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And it says his passionate commitment of the Lord's, let me read that again. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. I need you to understand that the Lord's armies are moving across our culture. They are moving across the nations of this world. I need you not to look at CNN. I need you to look at BIBLE. Somebody say amen. I need you to get a hold of this thing here, that the kingdom is marching on, and I need you to get in line with what God is doing. He is loving people into the kingdom of eternity. He is the Prince of Peace, and you can have a part of that kingdom. Have the power of God in you. Let his kingdom come. Let his will. How do you let the kingdom come? When you let love prevail in your here and now, you will see them later. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what I'm saying to you, church, is that his kingdom is here and the angels are at work. I need you to understand what Jesus' words were for us to do in our great commission to help bring the kingdom on earth. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. He outlines what it's going to happen. And this is very important for many of you today. Many of you, you have encountered some things that can knock a person out. You've entered into some conflict that should put you away. You've had something happen to you in your childhood that you can't help but forget. It's almost like you're in a war in your mind. But I need to encourage you and admonish you with this truth. Jesus brought an analysis of the end days. He said this, and because iniquity shall abound, watch what it says, the love of many shall wax cold. Look at your neighbor and say, keep it hot. Turn to the other side and say, keep it hot. How many like cold food? We got a chant in our house when my wife cooks. My kids, you know, my wife will cook and then she'll talk and cook and draw something and cook and paint a picture. And so the kids and I gather together with a phrase and we say, no cold food, no cold food. Look at your neighbor and say, keep it hot. Probably have the only thing I eat all day today. Watch this. And because of iniquity, many will have their love wax cold. It is an ultimate warning from Christ to you and I after he has set the standard that, you know what, I handle governments, you handle the gospel. I handle vengeance, you handle love. But because many have not taken heed to that truth, their love has waxed cold. And this is the danger for every believer, every person, that because of what you went through, you have so many walls that you're unable to reach out and love and be loved. And you've got to let your walls down. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with this truth. Maybe somebody hurt you and it's bad, but I want you to know Jesus can bring you peace. That he doesn't want you to be cold of heart. Listen to what he says next in verse 13. He says this in 13, and I'll read it from my text. But he that shall endure to the same shall be, verse 14, and then he goes into the kingdom mind. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto, and then shall the end. The end of the world is not going to come until we have reached every nation with the message of love. Don't let your heart grow cold. Restart your heart. Turn the burners back on. Don't say to the person, well, I've been burned. No, turn your burners back on. And learn to let go. Don't hold on. My pastor, when I grew up, said something very smart to me. He said, Steve, if you're going to be in ministry, you need to have a short memory. You know what that means? In marriage and everywhere else, you can't keep remembering everything they did wrong. If somebody hurts you, you got to be quick to what? Let it go. Come on. Let it go. Let it go. Ooh, I love that song. Why is God bringing his kingdom to earth? What is he doing? What is the purpose of this kingdom that is sweeping the land despite what you hear in the news? What is his goal? What is the end game that Jesus has in mind for us? What is he doing when you see churches popping up everywhere and then we get all bent out of shape because a new church is on the corner and we go, man, we got enough churches. The devil is a liar. We need more churches than we ever had in our... We need more church people. What is Jesus doing? I think we need to capture that in the Word. I've got 5 minutes to share the truth of this. He is bringing the kingdom of God to this earth because Jesus is a conquering king. Please write that down if you haven't. Jesus is a conquering king. Jesus is not here to give up property, land, or morality. Jesus is here to dispense truth. It creates conflict, but he is the Prince of Peace. He is trying to bring reconciliation between this world and heaven. And so he is conquering every aspect of our culture. He is marching through every hall of our Congress. He is moving through every heart of every leader and every religion. He's breaking down their titles and their theology. Jesus is still marching through this world until this world reflects the kingdom of heaven. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is repenting. repainting the landscape of America, repainting the landscape of Europe, repainting the landscape of Asia until it reflects the glory of the living King. Somebody ought to get excited about the great painter called Jesus. What is he doing? There's a text that I'll end on and pick up on in our next time together. I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's going to give us the illustration and the explanation of what Jesus is literally doing now. Everybody say now. R-A-T, now. Still a little slow. Watch this. Here's what he says. He starts off in verse 24. Did I say, no, 15:24, please. 1 Corinthians 15:24. He says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered, this is what he's doing, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Jesus' goal on this planet is to put down all rule, all authority, and all power. He's going to rule. Watch verse 25. Everyone read it with me. For he... Oh, you got to say it like you mean it. Say it again. For... Say it again. Again. He must reign. Your faith is not an option. It is a mandatory thing. Jesus must reign. We know chaos is allowed to thrive in the areas of our life where Jesus does not reign. He must reign. Watch this. Till he have put, watch this, look what it says. Till he have put all enemies under his feet. Look at what he's about to do, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is, he's marching over the earth. And the final victim of his campaign will be death. Watch what happens in verse 27. He has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, meaning Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So in other words, Jesus must reign and conquer this earth and bring all things under his feet, that then he may turn around and give them to his Father, so that all things may be under his feet. Here's the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you this week to ask the hard question. Are you allowing the kingdom to come? It flows through the words of truth. It flows through the heart of love. And he is marching across the globe. Will you hinder him or will you help him? I want you to think of the situations this week that you're struggling with. And I want you to bring love to bear on those situations. Can you forgive? Can you let go? And can you let him in? Would you stand to your feet?